Amen. You'll get where the juice is. I like that. I was preaching one night on Canaan's land. The lady came up to me and she said, "Preacher, what's that coming out the corner of your mouth while you're preaching?" I said, "That's honey from Canaan's land." Praise God. And I like that you get like that. I tell you, it's good. And I appreciate this great church. Don't you appreciate it? Amen. You don't have to apologize when you raise your hand or shout or shed a tear or run the aisle. Praise God, I'll tell you. So I appreciate it. And the great man of God, God sent here. And for 35 years, he's been here, and what a blessing it's been. I tell you, you'll never know till one day God calls him home. And then you'll look back. Thank you, brother. If I can't get him getting wet tonight, I'll throw some water on him. Praise God. We'll have a time. And I appreciate Brother Wade. I tell you, he loves God. Appreciate all the good preachers that have come to be with us tonight. And then you that are not preachers, we appreciate you coming. And we appreciate Guy coming over there. He always comes in like the caboose. He used to come to my meetings 40 years ago, and we'd sing "When the Saints Come Dragging In," dedicated to God. But we appreciate God and all of them tonight. Appreciate all the good preachers. Now, we have tomorrow night and Thursday night and Friday night. Now, the Lord willing, tomorrow night I want to bring you a message on "He Did It All For Me." I'm glad everything Jesus did. He did it all for me. He did it all for you. Now, brother, that'll make you love the Lord. That'll make you appreciate Him. He didn't do one thing for Himself. And I hope you'll be here. And that's one of the sermons I have on the sufferings of Christ. And I'll preach on the crown of thorns tomorrow night. The crown of thorns. I hope you'll be here, the Lord willing. Now, I was going to preach tonight on "When the Roses Bloom Again." A lady called me and wanted me to preach on the radio. And I preached it today on the radio. So I'll not preach it tonight, praise God. So I'm glad you came. And I believe you'll be blessed if you'll pray. And the big preacher comes, well, we'll get out of the way and thank God. We'll have a time around here tonight. Then Thursday night, I have 7 sermons on Second Coming. And start back with the Second Coming of Jacob. The Second Coming of Elijah. Second Coming of the Good Samaritan. And right on through, and last, the Second Coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord willing, Thursday night I'm going to preach on the Second Coming of Joseph. And you know, his life is divided into 2 comings. The first, when he was 17 years old. Out there in the field, he came to his brethren. Later on, it's the emperor down there in Egypt. Thank God, chapter 45. Came out to his brethren. He didn't make any fancy speeches. He said, "I am Joseph." Glory to God. He didn't have to put anything on it. He said, "I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph whom you sold out. I'm Joseph who you betrayed." Listen, the Lord Jesus coming back one of these days, what a time that'll be. Now, I've been preaching the last few weeks on the current situation in the Middle East. The Persian Gulf and the nations there. And I'm going to speak the last message in the series Friday night, the Lord willing, on the Battle of Armageddon. There are 2 white horses and riders or white horses in the book of Revelation. The first one, a lot of good Bible teachers and good men believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I disagree with them. I believe it's the Antichrist. This rider comes from beneath. The one in chapter 19 comes from above. I like that. Say amen. This one is true and faithful, and this one is anti-truth. Always he's the father of lies. And so I hope you'll be here, and I'll preach on the final battle against all of them. And you know, the Bible said that the Lord will win that battle with His Word. He'll come back and have a sword in His mouth and the sword of the Spirit of the Word of God. I believe He'll win that battle with 2 words. I don't believe He'll say but 2 words. Drop dead. The whole crowd will be dead. Say amen. So I hope you come and we'll... That'll be Friday night, the Lord willing. We'll have a, we're videoing it, by the way, each night, but we'll have it specially videoed too on another, supposed to be professional man being here, and video that. And so I hope you'll be here all these nights to come. Now, I want you to take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. My good friend, Brother Hink Little, who is in heaven now, used to say when he'd get up, he'd say, "Now, if you believe that God is dead, read 1 and 2 Samuel." And, of course, I never had no trouble with that. We had an old professor down in Georgia one time said, "God's dead. He died." Lady called me the next morning and said, "Brother Mays, you think God's dead?" Fiction gets a hold of a man. And, of course, this generation doesn't know much about that. We've about ruled out God's spirit convicting a man. But you let the Holy Ghost get a hold of a man, right? He'll climb a telephone pole backwards to get saved. Say amen. Bless God, you don't have to worry about anything. He'll get saved. I like that, brother. I like to be in a service when you see God reach out and get a hold. All right? In a moment, I'll have you to stand. Let me give you a little background of this. We have the Absalom Rebellion. Rebellion is a terrible sin. We got rebellion in our schools, rebellion in our churches. We got rebellion in our homes. Rebellion is a terrible thing. Satan, our Lucifer, rebelled against God. And ever since, we've had rebellion. But here in the scripture, the 19th chapter, we have the rebellion of Absalom and David. The king went across the Jordan River to exile for about 50 miles across the Jordan River. And when he left, the people had a love for David. And they said, "We want a king back. That we want to see the king." Did you know something? I don't care if the streets up in heaven are mud knee deep. Bless God, if the walls are made out of paper, it won't make any difference. Just to see him that died, praise God, had paid the price for me, that'll be all I want. And what a blessing. But here David is in exile. Would you stand all over the house real quickly? We'll read the scripture, and I'll get right into the message tonight. Look at verse 9 of the 19th chapter of 2 Samuel. David's return to Jerusalem. Coming home now, thank God. Whether you believe it or not, the Lord is coming back soon. I'm not a date setter. I don't know how soon. But I got a feeling, bless God, it won't be long. I got a feeling. I can almost hear the chariot now getting ready to leave. And bless God, I'm ready if he comes tonight. Amen. I don't have to go back to Atlanta for things. Amen. Leave out. Look at the scripture, verse 9. The Bible said, "And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'The king saved us out of the hand of the enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled out of the land of for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word to bring the king back?'" And David, and King David said to Zadok and to Abitha the priest, saying, "Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye lice to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house?" Now look at verse 12. I used to stop at verse 11. This is something you need to get a hold of, and it'll take you a long time to get a hold of verse 12. "Ye are my brethren. Ye are my bones and my flesh, wherefore then are ye the last to bring the king back?" He said, "Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones." Boy, I guess out in deep water right there. Do you know that? You know that? Jesus Christ has three bodies. Had a body that was given to him and when he came in the world of a virgin. He has now a memorial body every time we come to the Lord's table. Every time you take of the bread and every time you take of the cup, remember, this is my body. Oh, I like that. Then there's a mystical body tonight. the heads in heaven and the bodies on earth. Lord have mercy. You say, explain that. I can't, but I believe it. I'll tell you what a blessing is. I can't explain it, but I believe it. Thank God one day the head will be reunited with the body. That's what it meant when it said we're bone of his bone, we're flesh of his flesh. And they were sad, and they said, let's get the king back. Would you be seated and bow your head quickly all over the house? Our Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for the good singing. Lord, it's been a blessing. The trio, the choir, Lord, every part of the singing and the rejoicing has been wonderful. But that precious soul, thank you, Lord. I'm glad that you reached down. I'm glad tonight, even before we finish with a praise service, I'm glad you saved that precious man. I pray that he'll not doubt and he'll not have fears, but oh God, that he'll walk with God. He'll follow the Lord in believers' baptism, that he'll do something for God in the days to come. Bless Brother Wade. Bless these preachers. Bless every mother, every dad, every son, every daughter. Now, Lord, as we come to bring this message, unless the big preacher comes, we'll be at aught. But I'm glad when he shall come. Thank God, it'll be all right. And I pray that the Spirit of God shall come in mighty power, and we'll thank you, and we'll praise you, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way. And I'm going to speak to you on the King is coming. Boy, that excites me when I talk about the King is coming. Years ago, I was in Jordan. I heard a big commotion. I heard trumpets blowing. And I turned there in Amman, Jordan, and they said, the King is coming. Boy, I had me a spell. I wasn't an Arab. I wasn't of that nation. But when that king came by in all the splendor, I waved my hand. I said, you think that's something? You wait till one of these days when the King of Glory, thank God, shall come again. I'm glad. It thrills me that King is coming. Now listen, it'll be different the next time. Brother, when he came the first time, listen to me. He had to suffer. He was humiliated. He was shamed. He had to go to Calvary. The next time, there'll be no Calvary. They spat on him the first time, but they'll not spit on him the next time. They laughed and smote him the first time, but they'll not smite him the next time. The next time he comes, he'll be the bridegroom for the bride. That's what we call the rapture. And I thank God I'm ready for the rapture. Oh, what a blessing. I was preaching up in Bryson City. And when I got through preaching one night, a lady came down and said, Brother Mays, I see you like the song I wrote. I'll see you in the rapture. I said, did you write it? She said, yes, I did. Said one night, I was awakened at about 2:30 in the morning, put my feet over the edge of the bed, and said, I saw the rapture. I said, did you see me? She said, I don't remember. I said, you didn't see everybody then. Praise God. I'm glad the bridegroom is coming for the bride. And one of these days, I'm glad the bride is going to leave here. I was over in Chattanooga once, and Brother Roy Lucas, my good friend who teaches music, had 128 in the choir. And he said, before Mays comes tonight to speak, we're going to sing, Here Comes the Bride. Boy, they got to singing, Here Comes the Bride, to ever be at his side. I'm telling you, juice started running out my eyes. I got foggy around there. Heaven began to witness. And when they got to the place where it said, pick up your trumpet, Gabriel, there was a little returned missionary behind the organ. I didn't even see her. And when they said, pick up your trumpet, Gabriel, she started blowing that trumpet. I want to tell you, I started to run out on Roswell Boulevard in Chattanooga, climb the highest telephone pole, take my handkerchief and wave and say, come on, Jesus. I'm glad the bride had made herself ready. Oh, mister, what a blessing. It'll be the bridegroom for the bride. But I'm going to speak to you on the next aspect. I'm going to speak on the power and the revelation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 7 years later, mister, after the tribulation. Now listen, when the tribulation enters, I'll be gone. But praise God, I'm glad. When it's over, I'll be back. What a time that's going to be. It'll be a blessed time. And that's what I'm going to speak about. The King coming back. What a blessing. Here is Israel. You hear an old Israelite in Jerusalem say, I would I knew where my King is. Oh, another said, where is the King? And they got to talking about, let's bring the King back. I've never heard of as many people, especially preachers, talking about he's coming. You better get ready. He's coming. And they were sad because the King was in exile. I'm sad tonight in a way because my King is yonder at the throne, ever living to make intercession. But one day he's going to step off of that throne. Bless God, he's coming back. And I want to tell you something. The King will be coming. That will be a real blessing. I remember the first time I went to Jerusalem. I went up into the Mount Zion. How I tell you, I've always sung when I was a little boy up in Hendersonville. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. I went up on top of Mount Zion, and you know if you've been there, what's there? There's the tomb of David. And I got all excited, and I said, you mean inside that building is the tomb of David? They said, yes. I went in there, and there's a rabbi standing here and a rabbi standing there, and they act like they had the stomach ache. They're going, blue, 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 blue. And I thought, well, what in the world's the matter with that crowd? If they believe that's his tomb. And the Holy Ghost whispered my ear and said, Luke 1 says, and he shall inherit his father David's throne. And I turned and said, whoa! And an old rabbi ran over and said, blue, blue, blue. I said, blue, blue yourself. Bless God, whether you believe it or don't believe it, he's coming again. And one day he'll sit on David's throne. And what a blessing that's going to be. But the three aspects to the message tonight, I want you to write them down. First, he is the rejected King. He was rejected when he came. And tonight, they have no room for the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you, he's not popular. He never has been popular. If you follow him, you're not going to have a popularity contest to win. I'll tell you, the cross still has the mark of shame. An old-fashioned salvation like you see around here will never be popular. But bless God, it's popular in heaven. It's popular with the Holy Ghost. It's popular in this book, mister. And what a blessing it is. But he is the rejected King. Three times in the life of Jesus, it looked like they acknowledged him as King. Let me give you the three places. First of all, at his beginning, there in the place called Bethlehem, the Bible says, and it's found in Matthew 2, the first question in the New Testament is, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Did you know that's the first question in the New Testament? And there is a babe that's looking for a king. And in the beginning, mister, they had no room for him. Luke 2:7 says, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. I'm glad many years ago he knocked at my heart and said, do you have room? Thank God I opened up. And he came in and I made room for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a blessing that is. Now, that's the first part. And then, even on the cross, his last end of his ministry, the Bible said Pilate, they thought he made a mistake, inscribed over the Son of God, this is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. They went to Pilate and said, take that king over there. And Pilate said, what I've written, I have written. Thank God what I've written. I'm glad I've written. But in the closing part of his ministry, oh, in the only glory he ever saw, you see, he had to drink a bitter cup. You see, he had to trod a rough path. You see, he was lonely. But if you'll turn your Bible into the 19th chapter of the book of Luke on Palm Sunday, I'm glad he took a little cold and he said, I'm going home. That's the king. And bless God, he started in Jerusalem and 1.5 million Jews lined the streets and they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the King who cometh in the name of the Lord. I mean, they got to shouting and praise, and they took off their coats and they strode them in the way. And the Bible says, listen to me, they had palm branches. They're waving palms, palms of victory. And the scripture said they put them in the way and they cried, Hosanna! Hosanna! Which means save us. Save us, O King. I'm glad that's his business. He's in the business of salvation. And what a wonder that thing is. And I can hear an old Pharisee over there say, I don't like shouting. It makes me nervous. It's a funny thing. You church members don't get nervous at a football game. Say amen. This down here made you a little nervous tonight. I want to tell you something wrong with you. If you, amen. Don't make me nervous. Say amen. Bless God, I get scared when it ain't like this. I get scared, boy, when it don't go out in a shout of glory. I want you to know that that's a blessing. But I believe there were four people in that group that stood there and said, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. They wouldn't have stopped shouting. I don't care how many Pharisees said, Jesus, tell them to hold their peace. And Jesus said, if I tell them to hold their peace, he said, the rocks will cry out. Thank God, I'm so glad. Somebody's going to praise him as King. Now, I believe there were four that day that stood in that group, and nothing could silence them. Nothing could quieten them down. Oh, real shout, brother, you can't quiet them down. Do you know that? You might as well get out of the way or get run over, bless God. An old-fashioned shout, you can't quieten it down. And I don't want to quiet it down. I want to encourage it and say, help yourself, brother. Get out there deep. Four people. First, there's a small boy standing in that crowd. He said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the King. The old Pharisee walked over and said, why don't you shut up, buddy? He said, mister, you see that man on that coat right there? One day out by the Sea of Galilee, I was the only one that brought a little lunch. 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And as I brought my little lunch, I walked up to him and gave him that lunch. And I saw him pray. And he took those little loaves and broke them and blessed them. And he took the fish and he broke them. And he fed 5,000 hungry people. And if you think I'm going to hush, mister, anybody can do that for me. I'm going to bless his name. I'm glad God took my little lunch of the loaves and the fishes. And he broke them, mister. What a blessing it is. You know, I thought to call to preach. I thought every preacher had to be fat and bald-headed. I borrowed Daddy's car and rode out to Upper Baptist Church. You know where that is? Upper Baptist Church. I went out there and I pulled up the yard. I never will forget it. Now, you won't believe this, but it happened whether you believe it or not. I pulled up between the cemetery and the church. And I said, now, Lord, my mama's everything over there, little sister. She's a big YPU director and everything else. I said, now, I can't preach. I want you to know, I can't preach, God. I don't look like a preacher. I said, I'm not bald-headed and I'm not fat. He said, go ahead, start preaching, and I'll accommodate you and give you both of them. Praise God. I want to tell you something. Amen? And I said, Lord God, I can't preach. And I reached over to cut that old Dodge crooked key on to go back out to Flat Rock. And when I turned it, I looked over at the graveyard. It looked like every one of those tombstones was blinking, sticking out their tongue. I looked over there again. I said, Lord, I've just accepted the call. Praise God. I said, I don't want to get out there with them tombstones yet. Oh, you say, preacher, I want to tell you, when you have 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, hear me, mister, you need to give them to the Lord. I remember when I rode down here before this church was ever built up here many years. Down here, it's a little church. I didn't know that one day God would take that little bitty handful of fish and a few barley loaves and put a church on the hill that'll shine all over this country. Oh, you say, babes, you say, preacher, what happened? That little boy said, I'm small, but let me tell you, mister, that man took my lunch and satisfied every man and every woman. And did you know, mister, he took up 12 basketfuls. I imagine that little Pharisee said, well, what did he do with them? That little boy said, there's 12 unbelieving Baptist preachers up the road, and you sent them one apiece. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, that little boy rejoiced. The king was coming by. Number one, the little straight woman sitting there. She was waving in that crowd. Said, Hosanna, blessed be the king. And an old Pharisee said, lady, why don't you be quiet? Oh, she said, I can't. 12 long years I had an issue of blood. I grew worse every day. I didn't know where to turn. And when I went to the medicine cabinet, and I opened the medicine cabinet, and there wasn't any medicine, and my money's all gone. Somebody came by and said, there's a new doctor down here on the Sea of Galilee. He never writes a prescription. Woo! Bless God. He never loses a case. And what a blessing it is. And she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. Let me say to you tonight, there ought to be a mother in this house that could touch the hem of his garment. There ought to be a man somewhere among us tonight that could touch the hem of his garment, mister. What a blessing. She said, mister, I touched him. And I've been straight ever since. Woo! He straightened me up. Bless God, he can make the crooked straight. Say amen. He can make that old cursor start singing Amazing Grace. He can take that person that's been in the gutter and save them to the uttermost life. What a blessing. I believe there's 2 others in that crowd. I believe there's a man over there that had the peace of the calmness of the early morning sunrise. And he was saying, Hosanna. Blessed be the king that cometh. An old Pharisee ran away and said, shut up. He said, mister, you don't know what happened to me. I was in a graveyard. I was wild and no man could tame me. I'd break the chains of someone. Whoa, he said, I want you to know, my family was scared of me. I was wicked. I had demons in me. But one night upon the sea, there came a little boat across the Sea of Galilee. I stuck my head up over a tombstone, and I saw that little ship. And I wondered, and I saw a storm come up. And when that storm arose, there was one that stood up on the keel, held out his hand. And the waves went down, and the wind ceased to blow. And praise God, there's a great calm. And he said, mister, I want to tell you something better than that. He said, he came to me, and that storm was raging in my soul. And you, some of you here tonight, you remember when he came to you and that storm was raging. And you say, preacher, I didn't know what to do. Bible said he cast the demons out of that wild man from Gadaring country. You know, I don't like people put on dogs. So let me tell you this, you don't mind. I think Billy Cole was with us. I'm not sure this time. We stayed in a caboose down at the Sea of Galilee. And we had, I think, about 12, 15 with us. And there's a shoutin' bunch you ever saw. When I used to go, and I think I've been 19 or 20 times, I didn't want these dry hides with me. I get enough of them over here on this side. I don't want them over in the Holy Land. Say amen. Amen. I remember we was down there one night, and I went over before we ate to the little fruit stand, and I said to the lady, I'll have some orange juice, please. And a lady came over, and she's such a highbrow lady. She said, hello. And I said, how do you do?
She said, "You don't know who I am." I said, "Bless God, you don't know who I am either." And she said, "I teach in Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh, and I'm over here doing some research." And I said, "Well, lady, I'm a Holy Ghost Baptist preacher, and I've already finished my research. I found it all." Hallelujah! And buddy, it scared that old woman to death. I mean, it scared her to death. And she said, well, I said, "Would you look right across the Sea of Galilee? Did you know it's called the Gadarene country over there? And did you know that 1900 years ago, there was a wild man, and there was a man filled with demons, and nobody could tame him until Jesus came across in that little ship, and Jesus tamed him and sent him home to his family, and he got on some clothes, and he was in his right mind." And I said, "You believe that?" She said, "No, I don't believe there's a wild man over there 1900 years ago." But we went back and we shouted all night long down at that caboose. Next morning I went over to get some orange juice, and she was over there, and her eyes were all bulgy. And she said, "I didn't sleep a bit last night." I said, "You didn't? That's a shame. What's wrong?" She said, "I don't believe there was a wild man over there 1900 years ago, but there's 40 around here last night. I want to tell you something." And brother, we were praising God, and we were shouting the victory, and what a blessing it was. Hear me tonight. What a blessing it is. Hear me. One more person in that crowd, he didn't reject him. He stood there with the brightest eyes you've ever seen and said, "Hosea, Hosea, Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." And he shouted, and an old Pharisee came over and said, "Why don't you hush? Don't you know you're disrupting this beautiful scene of him going through the eastern gate and coming down the streets of Jerusalem? Won't you hush?" And that man said, "Listen, one sat alone beside the highway begging. I was blind and could not see." Woo! And praise God, he said, "That one on that coat right yonder put mud in my eyes and said, 'Go and wash and you'll see.'" And he said, "You know, they asked me after I did that what happened. I said, 'I don't know, but this thing I do know. Once I was blind, but now I can see.'" And what a blessing. And brother, Jesus Christ was rejected there in Jerusalem. So first of all, he's the rejected king. Number two, write this down. He's the rightful king. Oh, I like that. He's the rightful king. You say, "What do you mean he's the rightful king?" Psalm 24, and I'll refer to it at the end. It's the great doxology of Israel. They sang it at least once a week. They sang, "Who is the King of Glory? King of Glory is the host of Israel. Open up ye gates. Who is the King cometh in?" But watch it, what he said in verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Everything in this earth belongs to God. The devil's had a lease on this thing 6,000 years, but it's running out, brother. You hear me? I'm glad, bless God, it's running out. And what a blessing it is. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Mister." He owns it all. If I have time, I'll give you three ways he owns me. First of all, he is the rightful king because he created me. Oh, aren't you glad for that? I'm glad the Bible says that he made us. We not ourselves, but he made us. He formed us. And I'm glad, praise God, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Boy, that's shouting ground right there. I've been created with the hand of an almighty God. I'm glad he picked it up and he created man. And man didn't come from a monkey. Some of you may act like it, but bless God, God created you. Hear me? And God created me. Before Dr. Glaze died, he pastored the big Calvary Baptist Church down in Columbus, Georgia. Why he ever had me, I don't know. And his folks, I reckon they wanted me to shout. They didn't shout, so they'd pay me to come out and shout. Say amen. But buddy, I did just like I did here. Dr. Glaze, he'd say to me, "Preach, Mace." And I'd say, "I am."
He had the smartest little old boy sit on the front row I've ever seen. I've been Bible schools and Bible colleges, but I mean, this little old guy was smart there in Columbus. And every night I get through preaching, he'd come up and say, "I got one for you, brother." I said, "Pour it on me." He said, "I want to ask you some questions. Just one a night." I said, "Well, give me the one you got tonight." He said, "I want to ask you, you preached on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tonight. And you made the same mistake that every other preacher makes that comes in a Calvary Baptist church here in the city of Columbus." He said, "You made a mistake." I said, "Well, I made a lot of them, but what was it?" He said, "You brought the three Hebrew children out, but you didn't bring the fourth man out." He said, "None of you preachers bring the fourth man out." He said, "Why'd you leave him in there? Give me an answer, brother." I said, "Hold it." I said, "God, if you ever help me, you've got to do something." And you know what happened? God gave me the answer. And I looked at that little boy in Columbus, Georgia, and I said, "I'll tell you why. I didn't bring the fourth man out." He said, "Why?" I said, "I may get thrown in one day. I want him in there, praise God, before I can walking in the midst of the fire." But here's a good question he asked me the next time. He said, "I want to ask you something, Reverend. I don't like reverence. Only one time in the Bible you find the word reverence. He's talking about God being reverent. Man's not reverent. And I like just pure Brother Mays. I like that." But anyway, he came to me, he said, "I want to ask you something, Brother Mays." I said, "All right." He said, "How long the prodigal son stay in the home?" "I'll give you that, bud." And I said, "Just a minute." I said, "Lord, you'll have to help me again." I looked at him, I said, "I know how long he stayed in the hog pen." He said, "How long?" I said, "Till he got tired of the pigs." Woo! Praise God. A man will stay in the hog pen till he gets sick of sin and sick of the hogs, and then he'll get up and go home. And he'll never go home till he gets sick of them. But here's the best one he asked me about creation. Came up and I said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Yeah, Brother Mays, was it raining or sunshine when God created Adam?" I said, "Buddy, the Bible don't say." "Oh," he said, "yes, it does." I said, "No, it doesn't. Let me quote it to you." I said, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 said, "The Lord God formed man of dust, ground breathed not from breath of life. Man became a living soul." He said, "Slow up." I said, "All right." "And the Lord God formed man out of dust." He said, "Stop." He said, "If it had been dust," and it was, said, "the sun had to be shining." Said, "If it had been raining, it'd been mud he formed us out of, Brother Mays, and it had to be a sunshiny day." When God created us, I want you to know we're his for creation, and then we're his by redemption unto him who loved us and saved us and washed us in his own blood. I'm glad, praise God, I've been redeemed. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. And the Bible said that we need to recognize 1 Corinthians 6:20 that we're bought with a price. You don't own yourself. You don't have any say-so yourself. It's all him from now on out. I'm his property. Thank God you're his. He bought you. I was in Monroe, Georgia the other night, and I was telling Barry, we stopped there, my wife and I. And years ago, there's a man who's too old to fight in Atlanta in the great invasion of Sherman when he came through and burned Atlanta to the ground. But he's down at Monroe, and here's what he did. He said to his wife, he said, "It'll take me a day to get down there in this wagon, but I'm going to Atlanta, and I'm going to Stone Mountain, and I'm going to shoot Sherman." Said they said in the paper, he was standing over, looking over Atlanta, where I live. Now, right now, where I live at Nicata, Sherman passed his army right over the ground where I live. And this man said, "I'm going, though I'm old, I'll take a gun and I'll shoot it." And so he started. He went out. And he got in his wagon and he started to Atlanta. Little did he know, the little slave girl, 13 years old, crawled under some covers at the back of the wagon. And when he got to Stone Mountain, he grabbed that old musket, that old gun, and he jumped out of the wagon, started up toward where Sherman and three of his generals were. And a second lieutenant in blue saw him and shot him. And when that old man fell, that little black girl jumped up out of the wagon and ran.
and fell on him, and when she did, he shot her too. And he ran and turned her over and said, "Why did you fall on him? I came to set you free. And you fell on him, and you want to protect him, and I had to shoot you." Before she died, she said, "Mister, you don't understand. He bought me. He's my master. I don't own myself. He bought me. Thank God on the cross in his blood. I'm glad he bought me. He redeemed me. And what a blessing it is." Now, because of time, look this way. I'm going to give you something. The third thing. First of all, he's a rejected king. He's the rightful king. But he's the returning king. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Now, you put that down, brother. He is the returning king. It's going to be a blessing. Boy, I've never seen him with these eyes. But the glory that he'll come back in. You talk about the majesty, the splendor of the second revelation of the Lord Jesus. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great. The Bible said, and he's coming back on that white horse, out of his mouth, two-edged sword. True and faithful is his name, and his name is the Word of God. Boy, I want to tell you, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. You say, "Preacher, I'll never bow. I'll never confess." Yes, you will. There'll come a day when you'll bow, mister. There'll come a day whenever Hitler... Oh, listen to me. So don't. He's going to bow. You hear me? All men are going to bow, but it'll be too late for poor old sinners when they scream and fall on their knees and acknowledge him as King of Kings and Lord. Be too late. I'm glad I've already bowed on my knees and cried holy. And thank God, what a blessing it is. And what a blessing we have tonight in the Lord Jesus. Watch this, I'm going to show you something. And David had gone and they got to talking. Can't you see little girls going up to the daddies in Jerusalem and saying, "When's the king coming back?" That old Israelite with me wouldn't say, "Jesus, don't worry. One day Absalom was killed. He's dead. No kingdom now for Absalom." Although they'd anointed him, they ran David away. 50 miles across the river Jordan, David said to his servants, "Hitch up the chariot. I'm going back. I'm going back to those people I love. I'm going back to the sad faces, and they'll be glad because the king will. I'm going back. I'm going to ride in to Jerusalem with a shout." And I can see them as they whisper. Then one morning there's a strange feeling in Jerusalem. They begin to whisper, "The king's coming. The king's coming. The king's coming." They walk out and look down that road toward, listen to me, the Jordan River. And as they look down toward the Jordan River and Jericho, they hear the sound of trumpets. And they begin to cry. They begin to clap their hands. And they say, "That's him. That's him. The king is coming. The king is coming for us." Brother, they run out and they greet the king and they shout the praises of the kingdom. They say, "He's back. One day, thank God, we'll be able to say he's back." He said, "If I go away, I will come again. And where I am, there ye may be also." Let me give you this and I'll close tonight about the king coming back. I have 3 sons. My middle son is my pastor. When he was a little boy, he used to go with me to church, and he'd say, "Daddy, tell me about the king coming back." And I'd say, "Not tonight. I've told you that 12 times. He'd say, "No, Daddy, tell me about it. I'd like to hear it." And even though he's my pastor now, when I preach for him, he says, "Before you finish, tell about the king coming back." I want to tell you, he's excited, and we all ought to be excited about it. This is what happened years ago in England. They had a king, and he was very popular.
And he'd ride the streets and parades, and the people would run out and say, "Live forever, King!" And he'd hear that sweet sound. But when he'd get back and be all shut up in the palace, he'd say, I wonder, did they mean? I wonder, do they just love me as an image, or do they really love the King?" So he had an idea. He called some serfs in, that's what they call them. And he said to two of his serfs, "I want you to go out and find a man my size. I want you to find a man that's poor, and I want you to find a man that's got a coat that's tattered and pants that are tattered and some old shoes where your toes stick out. And get me an old stick and some old rags. I'm going to find out if they love the King." And so about a month later, he let his beard grow, gaggled up his hair, and he took and put on those old clothes, and he came down to the gate of the palace, and he said, "Now listen, I'm going down the street as I've always gone. I'm going to find out if they want me to come in their homes and eat with them. I'm going to come in. I'm going to find out if they want me, the King, or if they just want the uniform and the crown and the scepter." And so he said to the man at the gate, "Don't call Scotland Yard. I may not..." And they opened the gate and he went out. He stopped at the first house. Lady's out working in the garden. She said, "Hello, how are you?" She said, "Get away from here, you friend." And he said, "I thought you wanted me to live." She said, "Shut up. I'll call a copy for you. You get away from me, you dirty tramp. I don't want you to stand on my property." The tears streamed down his cheeks, and he said, "Thank you. I'll never be back." And he went on down the road, and there was a man that always ran out and said, "Come, King, step out of your chariot and come and eat at my table." And there the man was standing in the yard, and the King walked up disguised, and he said, "I'd like something to eat." He said, "We don't have nothing for you, tramps." Said, "You know the rule, which it's unlawful to armor a tramp or help a tramp." And the King said, "It is." Tears ran down his cheeks again. All day he heard the same old story, and he came to the end of parade route, and there were some railroad tracks, and there were some lights burning. And he said, "Well, I always turn around here. My feet's sore, my feet's tired." And he looked across the railroad track, and there's a little old house. He said, "I've tried all these others. I might as well try that." And he went across hobbling on those sore feet. And he knocked on the door of that little house. And the door slowly opened. The little girl holding her daddy's breeches leg said, "Hi, mister." And he said, "Would you say that again? I haven't had anybody all day to say hi. They talked about me, criticized me." And she said, "Well, hi." And he said, "Thank you." And the dad said, "I'm sorry. You know the law of these tramps, harboring a tramp." And he said, "Listen, I need your help. And if you will, let me come in." And the man said, "Absolutely not." The little girl looked up, and the daddy said, "Honey, we have just enough bread for me and your mother and you. And you don't have but one little cot, and we have our bed. We can't keep this man, this old tramp." That little girl said, "Daddy, I like him. Said, let him have my suit and piece of bread. And I'll give him my bed, and I'll make me a pallet in your room. And I'll let him sleep in my little bed." And the next morning he woke, and he went in, and he ate some breakfast. When he finished in that little three-room house, he told the mother and dad, "Go back there. I've got to talk to your daughter. Just a moment." They slipped back in the room, and he got out on his knees. He said, "Come on, folks." He said, "Sure, I'll hug your neck. I like you, mister." And he said, "Come up close. You don't have to hug my neck. Look at my eyes. Don't forget my eyes." And the little girl started grabbing her hand and crying. "I could never forget those eyes." And he kissed her on the cheek, and he said, "Mother, Daddy, I'll be back." And he ran out the door, and he ran across the tracks and down. And they saw him coming. They blew the trumpet. They opened the big gates. The doctor or his physician, everybody came and said, "We'll put you to bed." He said, "Put me to bed, nothing." He said, "I want a shave and a haircut. I want the best robe I've ever worn. I want the best crown with all of its diamonds. I want the best scepter. I want the finest chariot I've ever ridden in. Finest horses you can find. In 1 hour, I'm going to make a trip. I've got a family way over yonder. I'm going back to Gad. And boy, he got ready. And he said to the serf that rolled up at the top, and it was the driver, he said, I'm sitting up there with you. I want you to drive real slow. And I want you to blow that trumpet. Let them know I'm coming. And he sat there. And as he sat there, that man...